Well, greetings, everybody. This is Judy and Dagmar, and we're going to share tonight, so I'm real excited about that. I'm going to start off with a question. Who really likes action movies?
All the guys raised their
hands. Who really likes romance movies?
Oh, rom-coms.
Well, you know what? God made men and women very different.
Thank God.
In the Old Testament, there is a lot of action and dark and violent times, armies and battles, etc., and lots of who begot who's. And I always admire people that can go into the Old Testament because to me it's kind of daunting. I know Tom does it a lot. But lo and behold, God put a beautiful romance story in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And it's called the Book of Ruth. Mm-hmm. So the title of this sharing is Ruth and the Kinsman Redeemer. Ruth is one of two books in the Bible named after a woman.
Esther.
What's the other name?
Esther.
Esther's the other name.
Yep.
Very good. So tonight, I would like to read the whole book of Ruth to you in the NLT version,
yay,
which is so beautiful. But along with that, my beautiful assistant, Dagmar, whose name means glorious day. Instead, I'm not going to read the whole book. But I am going to read a few verses and about some things I learned, which include the number 10, who Boaz's mother was, what names and places mean and how they contribute to the story, and something about a shoe.
A shoe.
A shoe. Yeah. So the book of Ruth takes place in the time of Judges. And I got this little book at the library one day. It's called The 1 Minute Bible Guide. Mm-hmm. And it gives you a real short overview of every single book in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty cool. And I have bought some extras if anybody wants them. I didn't bring them tonight, though. So anyway, I'm going to read what it says about the book of Judges. Judges contains some great stories, but it is generally a pretty depressing read. Following the death of Joshua, God raises up a series of judges to rule the land. A cynical pattern emerges. Over and over again, the people disobey God and bring violence and shame upon their land. The recurring phrase is, "Everyone did as he saw fit." They selfishly followed their own path, a path which led to defeat and destruction rather than what God had in mind for them. Judges is a testimony to the infinite patience of God. He continued sending new leaders for the people, even though they made the same mistake time and again. So Dagmar's going to read the last verse in Judges, chapter 21. Verse 25.
In those days, Israel had no king. All the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes.
That's what they did. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have Dagmar go ahead and share the little synopsis on Ruth that's in my little book here.
After all the violence and disobedience recorded in Judges, the book of Ruth is a breath of fresh air. A gentle tale of love and redemption. It is interesting that Ruth, the heroine of this story, is not an Israelite, but a Moabite, a member of one of the nations that was an enemy of Israel. This adds even more poignancy to to an unforgettable story of friendship.
Poignancy.
To this unforgettable story of friendship, loyalty, kindness, and real love.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
So, the Book of Ruth takes place in Bethlehem, Judah, and Moab. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to read the NLT. Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the days when the judges ruled in Israel, a severe famine came upon the land, so a man from Bethlehem in Judah left his home and went to live in the country of Moab, taking his wife and two sons with him. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife was Naomi. Their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Epaphrodites from Bethlehem in the land of Judah, and when they reached Moab, they settled there. So many of you know, sometimes I like to have a handout when I teach. So tonight, I'm going to do a literal handout. Take your two hands and put your palms out, put your thumbs together and your pointer fingers together, and this represents on your right hand, your right hand represents Moab, your left hand represents Judah, and in the middle you have what? The Dead Sea. Bethlehem is about an inch down from the top of your middle finger. I know some of you have Bibles you can look in the back. I just thought this was fun. So Bethlehem is actually about when they make their trips from Moab into Judah. It's about 30 miles, and it takes about 3 weeks for them to walk there.
That was my handout. 3 weeks for 30 miles?
Wow. That's what I read. I don't know. Anyway, I always enjoy researching what the names and places mean in the Bible. And I believe God intends them to enrich his stories. So I looked up what Bethlehem meant. It means house of bread. Judah means house of praise. Moab, the country of Moab, is named after Lot's son Moab. And Lot is, you know, Abraham's nephew. And Moab was one of the two sons that were conceived actually in incest when his daughters got him drunk after Sodom and Gomorrah happened. And they wanted to continue their heirs. The land of Moab is also described as a green place in the middle of the desert. So I always kind of wondered that saying, you know, what is it? It always looks greener on the other side. I don't know if it came from this or not. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. But also, Moab means just short of the promised land. So you can tell with your hands. That's where it is. And I'm going to go to Ruth chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. So Ruth went out again. Oops, I'm in the wrong chapter. Chapter 1, 3 and 4. Then Elimelech died, and Naomi was left with her two sons. So the grass really wasn't green. The two sons married Moabite women. One married a woman named Orpah, and the other a woman named Ruth. And they were there about 10 years. For some reason, 10 years comes up in this book as well. And I guess it's significant. It's in other books of the Bible. So we'll see We'll see that in some other parts of this teaching and sharing. So Naomi hears that things are better in Judah and decides to move back. She sets out with both daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpah. In verse 8, they both wanted to go with her. But Naomi, and her name means pleasant, although in one part of the story she is really sad and complaining about everything that happened to her, and she says, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara." Mm-hmm. And Mara means bitter.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, she encourages them to go back and find new husbands in their own land. So she's a wonderful, apparently they had a wonderful family. They all loved each other. And it's really sweet of Naomi to, she wasn't just thinking of herself. She wanted her daughters-in-law who had taken care of her and loved her sons to be taken care of. So they hugged and they wept about leaving each other. But Ruth, and her name means friend or companion,
mm-hmm.
go to verse 16 in chapter 1. And it says, "But Ruth replied, 'Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God.'" So she makes a choice. And Naomi takes Ruth, who's a Moabite woman, back to Judah. And remember, it says earlier that they were there 10 years. And so now, Al, will you read Deuteronomy 23:3?
"An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever."
There you go. So for some reason, God knew that this was going to happen 10 years later.
10 generations.
Okay, why 10 years? Well, it's God's prerogative and His timing. I recently spoke to someone who prayed for 8 years before the results came to pass. And it just reminds me to surrender to God's timing, but never give up on the blessings to come.
Amen.
So we keep expecting, no matter how long. Dagmar, how long until you got the perfect apartment? Did you pray for that?
Since April.
Since April.
And then on Monday.
And then on Monday.
I got it.
She got it in the perfect place. So.
Yeah, she prayed for it. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Al. Deuteronomy 24. Yes.
Yeah. "When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. That the Lord thy God may be blessed, may bless thee in all the work of thy hands."
So what this is about is the custom of letting the widows and the strangers glean in the fields. So Ruth chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "One day Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go out into the harvest fields to pick up the stalks of grain left behind by anyone who is kind enough to tell me to let me do it.' Naomi replied, 'All right, my daughter, go ahead.'" So she ends up gleaning in the field, which was owned by Boaz. Now, Boaz means a man of valor. And there's something I didn't know about Boaz, which was who his mother and father were. And if it mattered. But it turns out to be very interesting. So Dagmar's going to read Matthew chapter 1, verse 5.
Solomon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse.
Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Rahab is the same one of two women mentioned in the by faith chapter, I call it, Hebrews 11.
Mm-hmm.
Her story's in Joshua 2, and she is the mother of Boaz.
Oh.
So I thought that was pretty neat. In Ruth chapter 2, Ruth meets Boaz. And he is impressed to find out how she, by choice, left her own land and is devoted to Naomi, whose husband was actually a kinsman of his. In verse 8, he tells her to only glean in his field. And in verse 9, he tells her he has warned the young man not to bother her.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, after all, she's from Moab, which is the bad place. And Ruth is very thankful. She has this beautiful thing she tells him in verse 10. Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. "What have I done to deserve such kindness?" she asked. "I am only a foreigner." And in verse 11, he tells her why. "Yes, I know," Boaz replied, "but I also know about everything you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I have heard how you left your father and mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers."
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. And what woman isn't thankful for a man that wants to provide for her and protect her? And this is a wonderful love story of Boaz becoming her kinsman redeemer. On the last page, yeah. So Boaz is a figure for Jesus Christ. Wasn't Jesus Christ a provider, a savior?
Mm-hmm.
He redeems us.
Mm-hmm.
He paid for our freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, and so does Boaz in this story. He, Boaz, fulfills the law perfectly concerning a kinsman redeemer, which you can finish reading about in Ruth chapter 4, and also discover something about a shoe.
Fullness and suspense.
Yes. Well, I didn't want to go too long. Ruth and Boaz marry and have a son. So turn to Ruth chapter 4. And in verse 14, it says, "Then the women of the town said to Naomi," oh, they got married and I forgot to say they had a son. And his name was Obed.
Mm-hmm.
"So then the woman of the town said to Naomi, 'Praise the Lord who has now provided a redeemer for your family. May this child be famous in Israel.'"
Mm-hmm.
And in verse 17, "The neighbor woman said, 'Now at last Naomi has a son again.' And they named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse and the grandfather of David."
Mm.
And then if you read on, this is the genealogical record of the ancestor Perez. If you go down to verse 21, you'll see what Dagmar shared about. Salmon was the father of Boaz. And we know now that the mother was Rahab.
Mm.
gatekeeper?
Huh? Yes. Yeah, it's the same lady. So the Christ line even includes a Moabite woman.
Yep.
Now there's a biblical principle that I think most of us know that I want to share. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So Devin's going to share the last verse here in 1 Peter chapter 1,
18 and 19. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God.
Amen. So in light of our theme, this world is not our home, your two hands. Moab is not our home, no matter how pretty and green it is. Our true home is the Promised Land, because we are redeemed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for listening.